B-Pod Studios.
All right, good afternoon.
Hey, Doug. How'd you come out in terms of the injuries?
Good.
Nick again?
Foles?
Yeah.
No, he came out good. Yeah.
You want to say something?
Yes.
Doug, you guys have faced some of the best defensive linemen and some of the best defenses in the league during your streak. How well do you think your line has sort of answered that call and why?
You know, I think they rise to the occasion. They rise to the challenge. Every time that, or any time that, we hear a lot about our opponent, especially the guys up front. And we've listened, and you said it, we've played a lot of really, really good defensive linemen this year, D ends, D tackles, and it just seems like our guys really embrace that opportunity, embrace the challenge, and they have a great week of practice preparation. I'm going to tell you, Joe Osman, he's a practice squad player. He was Khalil Mack last week. He's been Aaron Donald. And he gives us great looks. And really, that's where it starts. Our guys really, as I said, they do embrace it. And they rise up and do a nice job in the game.
Jason Peters, specifically, he's had some games this year where he couldn't make it through. What have you seen from him? And what has impressed you about this year?
Well, I think, number one, he's feeling better each week. Obviously, the added rest that we're giving him, he's feeling better. And he felt good yesterday. And listen, he's a professional. He gets himself prepared, more probably mentally during the week than physical, obviously. He's an all-pro left tackle in my mind. And he continues to play at a high level. Is it perfect all the time? No. I mean, there's going to be times when he gets beat, but he's steady. He's reliable. And he played well yesterday.
Can you talk about what his sort of status in the locker room is?
His status? He's a leader on the team. I mean, you watch him talk to the guys, even when he's not in the game, he's talking to the guys, and he leads a lot by example that way, on and off the football field. So guys have a lot of respect for him.
Doug, there's been a lot of new guys who come in since the season started who are contributing a lot to you guys. Just talk about the play on both sides of the ball. Just talk about the process of kind of acclimating so many new people and then being productive.
Yeah. You can go all the way back to, Trayvon Hester, who we activated early in the season off practice squad and then has a big hand in the game last night. You like that? And then you continue to go and you add Golden Tate, you add, Craven LeBlanc, and you activate Trey Sullivan and all these different pieces that, were on practice squad. Shandon Sullivan, who was active and he's still with us on practice squad. Guys like that that have all had impacts, this season. It's a credit to the it's more on defense, obviously, so the defensive staff, coaching these guys up we say next man up, but this year has always been next man and maybe even the second man up. And so credit the coaches for preparing them each week and I think too, right now you're seeing that these guys are playing a lot more minutes together, and so they're getting a little more comfortable with the scheme. And I think of Rasul Douglas and how well he's been playing and how well he's been tackling and really being a more physical corner like we expect him to be, that's a bright spot as well. And then you throw in Maddox, who's a rookie corner who he's battling injury right now, but he's playing through it and he's playing good. And like I said, they're coming together at the right time.
What's the process like with your pro scouts and the coaching staff when you're looking at a player to pick up or get on waivers?
Well, obviously we rely a lot on the personnel side, the pro staff side. They're the ones looking and constantly checking rosters and waiver wires and things like that for players that we could add, depth to a position. And then if there is a player or two that of interest, they'll bring it to myself, and then of course we put it off on the position coach to take a look at and see if that person is or that athlete is has an opportunity on our roster. So it's a great process. We do, like I said, do spend a lot of time letting the personnel side kind of handle it, but coaches have a little part in making that decision as well. Who is this? Golden?
But he was still ready to step up in a big moment last night. What does that say about him, and what's it been like looking at him?
Well, it's exactly the person we knew we were getting. And this guy, you know, obviously, you know, was a starter and then kind of came in and became a role player, you know, so kind of a little bit took his seat, you know, a little bit, stepped back and had to kind of get comfortable with the offense. And then, you know, as you know, Mike and myself and the staff, we put game plans together. We think of our playmakers in mind and have certain plays for guys. And, you know, each week he just shows that he can handle more and more and more. And obviously we get, you know, in practice, we get more plays repped in practice than we do get called necessarily sometimes in a game. So you see more in practice from him. But, you know, he just keeps getting better, and he's really good at, you know, the types of catches that he made last night, you know, and especially the fourth down and to win the game, or at least to go ahead. Those are the things he can do. He's very strong at the ball. You know, he can. We know he's strong after the catch. He's strong, you know, breaking tackles, and played well.
Josh, you've made so much about the open dialogue and the conversations that you guys have on the sideline in a big game like that. You see, y'all, there's a statue outside, really special. But what is that open dialogue like between you two in those big games?
I mean, it's just it. I mean, it's. You know, you can't be scared to speak your mind, you know, in situations. It's, you know, it's no different than if I'm going to, you know, go for it on fourth down. I trust the players, and same is true. If they have ideas and they want to bring them to us, you know, I got to trust that. And so the conversation is just that. Seeing based on what we're seeing as coaches, what I'm seeing as a play caller. And, you know, if the instinct is right, if the gut feel is right, we go with it.
Speaking of Golden, second quarter where he took that shot, I mean, what does that say about his toughness? I mean, just and how he's doing well.
It's tough. Oh, that's just who he is. That's the type of player he is. You know, he's got that running back mentality. Again, strong at the ball, strong at the point. And quite frankly, the first guy normally doesn't bring him down, you know. And he made that was a sweet catch. Obviously, a big play in the game, as of course the last one. But that's who he is, and that's what we expected out of him, and we got to do more of that.
Why did you let kind of set the tone a little bit as far as like the toughness you guys showed throughout the game?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. You know, I think that's a big part of. It can spill over to the rest of the group, you know, especially the receiver group, because we asked them to do a lot, and not only in the passing game but in the running game as well, to block safeties, block corners, sometimes linebackers, and that sort of aggressive mentality can carry over in other areas.
Now, let's going back to Landon and JP real quick. As a play caller, when you feel comfortable to have tackles that you can leave on the aisle, even against players like Mac, how much easier does it make for you?
Well, as a play caller, it makes it a little easier because they're playing well and they're controlling the line of scrimmage. It's something we talk about each week, and you know, the more guys you can put into a route, obviously more opportunities for completions, and you know, we did our fair share of you know, our chips and slams and different things that we do with the ends and sometimes tackles, but when our guys play at a high level and play as well as they did. Yeah, it does make it a little bit easier to just call plays.
Hey, Doug, what's the approach you take with the playing game? Is that a resources week, or is it something you try to flush away?
Well, immediately after the game, you flush it, and you're moving on to the next week's opponent. I think for us this week, it's more of the resource. We go back and look at scheme. We go back and look at personnel. And you know, you can't look at the final score, obviously, we all know that, but you got to look at it from just X's and O's, pure X's and O's, and it's good to have played them, you know, because now you got that on tape, you got us versus them on tape, and you can go back and review and use it more as a resource.
So why did you decide to go with more 11 personnel involved?
You know, Vic Fangio did a great job of mixing his defensive personnel in the game, you know, it's offense is a little different from the standpoint. I've got to get personnel on the field. We got to get the huddle called. You know, we got a 40-second clock. So we're on more of a tempo where he can substitute guys in and out a little bit easier. And so he was mixing up his personnel on first down and first half he was mixing it with a little nickel defense. Then in the second half he went with base. And so I just said, hey, we're going to go 11 personnel. A couple times we went straight empty and still able to throw the ball even against their base defense when they played it against our 11. So just gave us a little better matchup at that time.
Josh Adams played just one snap.
Josh
played one snap. Well, why go with one down on Darren? Was that game specific or was that just the playoffs
more
better?
Yeah, it was a little more game specific in this one. Yeah.
Were you thinking sprint out on that fourth down play?
I was.
And the fact that you have that open dialogue with Nick in big moments like that, is that some stem from your experience playing the position and knowing what you want as a quarterback in that moment? Because it seems like as a coach, you want almost the full control.
Yeah, but you know what? Hey, at the end of the day, they're playing the game, not me. I'm over there on the sideline where it's a little more, you know, relaxed. They're the ones out there playing. And so it does come from, you know, learning and watching through my days of playing and being a backup and watching the starter, whoever it was, you know, talking with the coordinator, talking with the position coach on the sideline, the offensive line coach with protections, whatever it is, and just having that conversation. I think things are changing for us anyway. I'd say back in those days, too, it was more about the coaches making the decision and players just fall in line. But listen, I learned, too, that players make plays, and they're the ones out there. And if I don't show that I trust my guys, then they'll turn in a hurry. And so I got to make sure that I'm trusting them. And as long as what they're saying is right and it's matching up to what we're seeing as coaches, then we can go forward.
Why should fans think this would be different from the last game?
I think you just got to look at where we've come and what we've done. Just the way this team has come together at the end of the season, you know, to be counted out with even about three games to go, and we had to go on really, had to win our last three regular season games even to be into the postseason, needed a little bit of help. But this... you know, this team believes. This team believes in everything that we're doing, and you saw it yesterday. And we're different. You know, we're and we're a different group than when we played New Orleans the first time. And you know, we're learned from it, and we'll obviously have been better since. Well, what changes is that everything matters. Everything you do matters in the postseason. You know, you might be able to get away with something during the regular season because you got 16 games. But here, when it's a one-game season, and so everything you do matters from you know, your rest, nutrition, you know, the way you practice, how much meeting time, are you spending extra time, all that stuff now can actually correlate to winning or losing games and guys being in position. So I think that's the difference in when you get to the postseason that way. And our guys really do a good job of preparing themselves and being ready for these games.
Coach, how's Carson coming along, and is Nate going to be your backup again?
Yeah, Carson's doing well. You know, he's still getting healthy, and Nate will still be the backup.
What did Carson learn from watching Nick in these big games and big successes? Carson hasn't had an opportunity to really play.
Well, I mean, I think one, you know, Carson, he and you know, I just think that he right now he's a great support for Nick. And that's huge because Nick has been that way for him, and that's a big thing from going from starter to backup. That's hard, but then now you're in this position to really help the starter become successful. But yeah, I just think that you know, he sees how everything's kind of coming together, you know, and you know, whether it be the run game or the offensive line's playing well, or even even your skill position guys are making plays. I think that's all things that he's processing and learning from, and will be better when he gets back out there.
What's the reason for keeping Carson active?
What's the reason? Well, listen, I mean, we keep winning. We keep, you know, putting ourselves in a position to be successful. You never know. You never know what next week might hold. So we keep that out. We've done it a lot this year. We kept Darren up all season. You know, we've done it with other players this year. So Sidney Jones is another one that we keep alive. So we keep these guys coming, and we'll see where they're at, you know, in another week.
How about Mike Wallace and Sidney Jones?
Yeah, they're both going to be day-to-day again. You know, we'll see more on Thursday when we're out on the field practicing, you know, live for both of those guys.
Same practice schedule.
Yeah, walkthroughs and then practice on Thursday. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Doug Peterson addressing the media his day after press conference brought to you by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pies with hoagie and party trays, every bit as good. He said that Nate Sudfeld will be the backup quarterback again this week. Carson's recovery is coming along. Nick Foles, obviously your starter, heading into New Orleans when the Eagles will take on the Saints as an 8-point dog.
So it's 8 now.
It's an 8-point line. Opened up at 8, went up to 9, and then back down to 8. That's where it's sitting at 8 right now. The consensus in Vegas.
This is so amazing. This is like they're doing this again. Like they're doing this again. You know what's funny? So we were talking about it all week, and truthfully, I don't know. And, you know, I'm way late to the Foles party. Way late to St. Nick. But, like, you could see this one. Like, this one, I didn't understand how the line was the line. Forget about how they won or lost. But the fact that you knew it was going to be a close game.
Yeah.
Just the experience factor alone that the Eagles had and that the Bears did not have. That clash alone had to make it a close game, though.
And two defenses that are very good. Now, the Bears were the supreme defense in the NFL this year, but the Eagles were no chopped liver.
What I'm stunned at is that the stats, because the stats, all these stats belie the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I tell you before the game, Trubisky throws for 300 yards.
And that's a loss for the Eagles. If you tell me that before, I'm going, the Eagles can't win then.
He had 43 attempts, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
43 attempts. He throws for 300 yards, and you lose the turnover battle by 2.
Yeah, you're -2. There's no way you win that game. Defies logic.
All these stats defy logic.
Yeah, and the one that Adam Schefter tweeted out earlier, Ant, is stunning. Because you always look at a big sample. If you can see a big sample size, you go, okay, the Bears were +2 in the turnovers on Sunday versus the Eagles. The home teams that were +2 in the playoffs in the past 40 years are 112-4. 112 wins to 4 if you're +2 in the turnovers at home. That is amazing for the Eagles to buck that number.
It truly is.
Let me give you this number from Paul Hembekidis. He's on with Mikey Missa on Wednesdays or Thursday, I believe. Nick Foles.
I like him.
Yeah. Stats guy for ESPN.
He's great, yeah.
Nick Foles has beaten the number one scoring defense in consecutive postseasons. 2018 Bears yesterday, 2017 Vikings last year in the championship game. John Elway in 97-98 and Montana in 88-89 are the only other QBs since the 1970 merger to do that in consecutive seasons in the playoffs.
Wow. Elway, 97-98.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, though, those Elway teams were driven by Terrell Davis.
Mm-hmm.
They were run-based Denver teams. Who was the other ones?
The other one was Joe Montana in 88-89.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing. What an amazing stat.
Crazy, right?
Now,
you're right about Terrell Davis, though. I mean, the first Super Bowl that Broncos won was on his back.
Now, the Bears' defense way more impressive than the Vikings. I didn't think the Viking defense was that good last year.
No. I thought that was a good defense last year.
Not better than Chicago. I mean, yeah. This Chicago defense was terrific. Rasul Douglas, 8 tackles to lead the Eagles.
Wow. Again, this I think it's like the fourth time in the past 5 weeks that he's led them in tackles.
You know what he's done? He's secured the flank.
Mm-hmm.
He secured the flank. It's a huge deal to have a cornerback who can tackle.
All of a sudden, you look at that position. We were saying this when we thought the season was over, you know, after that loss to the Saints back in November 18th. I mean, by the way, that loss to the Saints was pre-Thanksgiving. I feel like an eternity ago, right? Since then, we were kind of saying, well, let's get some knowledge on some of these players, like Avante Maddox, like Josh Adams, who got one touch yesterday. Let's get some knowledge on these guys so that when we go into the offseason, we at least know what some guys are, and you know where you need to draft and where you need to improve. What we've learned in this secondary with Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox, and look, I don't know if LeBlanc will be back or not, or what, probably not Darby, and what they plan to do with Jalen Mills, but you found out some knowledge on, with some guys in this secondary that you really like. And they're playing without their corners and they're one of their safeties.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know who's played well? Corey Graham.
He has. Yep. You're absolutely
Corey
right.
Corey Graham's played well.
Yep. And he's the other guy I forgot about. He made a couple of big plays yesterday, too. He did. A couple of pass breakups.
Bradham was outrageous.
How many tackles on Bradham? Do you have that there?
7.
Okay. He was all over the field, though.
Rasul, 8. Bradham, 7. Corey Graham, 5. Malcolm, 5. Avante, 5.
Malcolm had a huge tackle, though, in the hole on Jordan Howard.
Yes.
I mean, he just got his ankle enough.
All 5 of his tackles, you felt.
Yeah, they were big.
He had a great game.
Yeah.
He had a great game.
Tremendous. Yeah, Rasul Douglas, I like him as a player, too.
West Virginia.
Yeah, I just like the way, if he has help, that you need to put help with him because he's not a burner. But if he has help and he keeps the receiver in front of him, and he's a guy who can track a ball, too. He had a lot of I think he's the all-time leader of West Virginia in interceptions. I mean, he's a player.
He is a big-time player. You know, the Eagles had 7 tackles for losses.
Is that right?
One by Fletch, one by Jernigan, one by Hicks, 2 by Bennett, 2 by Bradham. Bears had the same thing. Count sacks, too, but 7 tackles for losses.
Wow. Amazing. 610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. Midday Show Takeover brought to you by Carlino's Market. Quality food and tradition since 1983. Check out either location in my hometown of Westchester or Ardmore or online at carlinosmarket.com. We'll get back to the calls coming up right after this. It is a Football Monday playoff edition. The Eagles move on to take on the Saints this Sunday. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to wish you a happy new year. A couple days late. But it's from Window Nation as well. And there's something to be very happy about this new year. It's Window Nation's 000 sale. What does that mean? How about zero down payment? Zero payments and 0% interest for a full year until 2020. And that's not all. Window Nation's 000 sale is a triple deal as well. You also get $200 off every window, any size, any style, and with a whole house order, Window Nation will pay your heating bill until the new windows are installed. You're going to save hundreds, even thousands of dollars now, and who knows how much more with energy savings and higher home value for many new years to come. So start this year with Window Nation windows for an inviting, warm, cozy, and comfortable home. And the 000 sale, it ends soon. So visit WindowNation.com today for zero down payment, 0 payments, and 0% interest for 12 months. On top of that, you'll get the $200 off each window with no minimum purchase required. Plus, Window Nation, they're going to pay for your heating bill until those new windows are installed so you can save today, save tomorrow, and save for new years to come. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com. Again, 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com and tell them Jason sent you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, doink. Welcome back.
Gotta get the double doink.
This is awesome, double doink.
Who knew that when you said that all those years ago, Anthony, that it was
it would resonate.
Yeah, you were like Nostradamus.
Yes.
The double doink.
Double doink. And we'll know the double doink forever in history. So, Jason, I have with me one of the great Eagle fans. She's the best. She came to visit us, and she came in costume.
Yes.
The great Edith, right? Now, Edith, so she's wearing the Jason Kelce genie costume.
Yeah.
And she's got the Kelce beard.
That's what's disturbing.
Right? So Edith wearing the hat, the costume, and the Kelce beard is awesome. Andrew, tweet this out. Edith, come on, tell me the story of the costume.
Hello, Eagle fans everywhere. We got this. When you're an Eagle fan, you got to go all out. You got to pull out all the stops. So this morning, I had to come and see my boy Anthony and Jason and represent my team. Yes, I'm rocking the Mummers, Jason Kelce costume, beard and all.
Sequins and all.
And it is marvelous. And it's a wonderful day in the city of Philadelphia. Got this. I feel so good going down New Orleans. We're going to take this thing all the way to the bank.
I'll tell you, one thing I didn't bank on seeing today was a bearded woman. You know what I mean? But, oh, my goodness. Yeah, you got your sister out there. They're out hanging in the green room. I'll tell you, the commitment with the beard is something else. That I got to give you major props.
It freaks you out, the beard, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, a woman. Look, I got the beard, too. But I'll tell you, the woman with a beard freaks me out.
Menopause is a...
Wow. It's a good beard, too.
You know what's great, too, is that the Mummer's costume is New Orleans-esque. Yeah.
Very, isn't
right?
it?
That's Mardi Gras-esque. Yeah. And that's you, Edith.
That's me. We want a Mardi Gras in that dome, and we're going to take that city over. So get ready, because we got a ride coming.
Yeah.
I love it, Edith. You rock, Edith.
We got to get some beads. Right?
Edith's the greatest, man.
Yeah, how about that? Full-blown commitment right there. It's an Eagle fan commitment.
Oh, my God. By the way, a couple things. Mike, working on a plane, Mike, to go down to New Orleans.
On an airline?
Yes, I'm working on a plane.
You going to fly the plane?
I'm working on a plane to get us down there.
Oh, okay. Working on getting plane tickets. Or are you getting a private charter?
No, like a charter. I love you, Edith.
See you, Edith.
Your beard scratched me.
My beard and her beard almost got entangled.
You look great, Edith. We love you, Edith.
Her beard and my beard just got tangled a little bit during that kiss.
Totally satisfied sexually.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I love Edith. That is awesome. I want to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a perfect city for you. You told the story about New Orleans earlier.
I love a couple weeks New Orleans. Ago. It's one of my favorites, man. It's one of the great cities
of
all time. It's Blackout City, yeah.
Through the grenades, right?
Yes, at the mine.
Yeah.
Peggy, nothing better than being on a rooftop with a bunch of plastic grenades.
I was telling you, I've never been to New Orleans. I've never been to New Orleans. I've never gotten to experience the whole thing down there. NOLA.
Can we, or your management... So
not anymore, Holmes.
What?
They strip my badge.
what's the deal? Like I would do this to the previous regime, and I would torture you.
Lobby on the air.
You and Matt. Yeah. I would used to torture you guys.
Yeah.
Right now. Because I would also get it done.
Yeah. You find a way.
And I got a line on a plane.
You got a line on a plane?
I do.
We'll be going down there on like a Cessna.
No, dude, 737.
Oh, okay. You got a big aircraft on me. All right. Hey, man, I'm in.
DC-10.
DC-10? All right. I'm down with that. Down with Marvel, DC Comics, whatever you want.
No, but what's the status? Is Coach around?
Coach is here. He doesn't have any power, though.
Who?
Coach.
Coach has got power?
Nah. When I handed off the stripes, I didn't hand off the power.
No power.
You gotta have the money and get the power. Once you get the power,
then you get the plane to go to New Orleans.
Then you get the plane, right?
I want to go to New Orleans. Like if Eagle fans heading down, you're gonna have the time of your life.
Yeah. Well, Eagle fans, they've gone to the wallet a lot in the last calendar year.
I know.
I mean, last 18 months.
Keep it going, though, man.
They went to L.A. for the Chargers. They went to L.A. for Rams last year. They went to Seattle. Yeah. They went to
New Orleans before for the clunker.
They went down to Tampa earlier this year. They went to London this year.
Oh, I forgot that's a big London year.
Yeah, I mean, they've gone to the Wallet a lot lately. Like, the Wallet's saying, yo, you got to chill a little bit.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I know we didn't get to go to the Wallet as much as, you know, other teams in the past.
Yeah, my Wallet
but
left
I'm getting a little
me.
Exhausted.
It just left me with a brown paper bag.
Yeah, exactly. You got to get a money clip and nothing in it.
Yo, but it would be a great, it really would be a great, great trip, man. This could be a caravan type of trip.
Well, if the Eagles win this week and then they play Dallas,
I can put aside. I can trade the plane in for an RV.
I'm a Winnebago man. You know what I'm saying? I love it.
Winnebago. Did you have an accident on a
absolutely.
RV?
Yeah. You in the front, me in the back, or vice versa. No, I got the back.
I got the friends. I got my boys coming too.
Oh, jeez, you got the whole crew coming.
The crew like last time. You remember last time?
Oh yeah, I wasn't on that RV. Strategically speaking,
the crew's got to come. You want? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You got to bring the whole posse.
You want me? I got to have
crew thick.
I got to have crew thick.
Cousin
Joey's got to come.
Oh yeah, they all got to come. Yeah.
Vinny Boo too. Yeah.
That happened the last time you guys were down in New Orleans. You don't remember it? One guy came in and was there 7 minutes and left.
Yes.
Last time you were down there.
That's true. That's true.
So don't show up late.
That's true.
That's the lesson to be
learned. Tyrone wants to go. He's in.
Ty?
Ty's in.
Ty
would be fun on the trip. Andrew's got to go.
I'm driving with Ty.
It's part of the show.
I got some prices for you, too, if you want. One stop there and back, $348 for a flight?
No, we already have a charter.
Oh, you got that taken care of? Okay. Yeah. And there's a India House hotel for $38 a night.
No, I'm not staying
there.
I already did that, Jacksonville.
I'll stay in a better hotel for more money.
the Jacksonville one. Nowadays, the Airbnb is the ticket. The Airbnb is the way to go.
Yeah. Get a nice place there.
I'm a big fan of the Airbnb.
Right on the, what's the area called then? Or what's that, where all the balconies are?
Well, you have, that you don't want to be there. That's.
I want to be where the action's at. I'm first timer here.
You want to be along Bourbon Street?
Yeah, sure.
That's called the French Quarter.
Okay.
You really don't want to be right on along Bourbon Street. You could be in the...
Block off?
Well, you could be in the Garden District. It's beautiful. That's by Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit out, but it's really nice.
You tell me where I'm going to have a nice time?
Well, you want to be in the French Quarter.
Okay.
I mean,
I
got to
be in the Quarter. I've never been down there before.
Nah, you got to be in the Quarter.
That's like, you know, coming to Philadelphia and then going to stay in, you know... I'm going to go stay in Gloucester. I want to be able to be where the action's at.
Gloucester.
Gloucester County or something.
Gloucester?
Gloucester County, whatever you say.
Gloucester.
I don't know.
I love that Frenchman Street. Man, it's beautiful.
All right.
It's a cool street.
You set it up, man. My passport's ready, even though I don't need the passport.
It's a fun town, man. And I love for like Eagle fans going down because they're crazy Saint fans.
Oh, yeah.
All that NOLA stuff,
mm-hmm.
They love their Saints.
Yeah, we got to talk to Bobby Hebert this week. Get in touch with Hebert, the Cajun Cannon.
Yeah.
We got to talk to him this week.
Yeah,
he still does games for him, I believe. But we got to talk to Bobby Hebert this week. And there's a lot of, like, we harkened back to a lot of memories with Chicago last week. A lot of Philly, Chicago, Eagles, Bears stuff in the past. And 30 years ago was the Fog Bowl and everything. But there's a lot of history here with the Saints, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
The Sheldon Brown, Bush. That was a big hit.
Yeah.
That was Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Close, El Pistolero.
Boy, what a hit that was.
Ah,
it's one of the legendary Brown, Philadelphia Eagle hits of all time. I mean, we had to put the top five hits of all time.
Wait, what did I say? Reggie Brown. It was...
No, it wasn't Reggie Brown. Sheldon Brown.
Sheldon Brown.
Yeah.
Reggie Brown. Yeah. Reggie Brown was a wide receiver.
Yeah. Let's go to Jimmy from Mount Holly on the Fanatic. What's up, Jimmy? Or Jimmy from Northeast Philly. Sorry. Jimmy, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, man. What's up, fellas?
Jimmy!
Yo, what's going on? Can you hear me?
We got you, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got
you. Hello. All right, there we go. All right. So, yes, it was freaking fantastic. But I'm over it. I got to do a little scouting. So, you guys there?
Yeah. We're here.
All right. So, I'm listening to the station in New Orleans. And the two clowns on the show.
Okay.
The first thing I hear is, they go, next week is pretty much an extra bye week. The Bears is overrated. And our corners stink. They gave up 300 to Trubisky. All they got to do is jump out early and the game is done. Are you kidding me?
Wow, an extra bye week?
They're saying it's like an extra bye week.
Now, who is this on the air? Did you get their names?
1280. Sports Station 1280 in New Orleans. I don't know their names.
1280. That. What's that, AM, Jason?
Yeah.
They still have AM?
Exactly. Like in New Orleans, they do. They don't have enough sports down there to warrant an FM signal.
I had iHeartRadio. I don't know what it is. 1280, whatever that is.
Yeah, it's AM. It's on the AM band. I mean, can you go up to 1280 on your FM band? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You're like 107 or 107.9 or whatever. That's as high as you go.
Gotcha.
All right, brother. Well, do me a favor. No more monitoring them rats down there. You need to worry about that crawfish down there.
I know. Right. Well, they think it's a bye week for them, so.
Right, well, they're going to be in for it.
All that trash.
Yeah. No, they're going to be in for it, brother. You're right on.
Well, now they got us. They got to deal with it.
Yeah, it's silly. Acting like it's a bye week. Stephen Muldoon tweets me this screenshot. Somebody on Twitter, Sam Miller, put out this side-by-side images of fourth and goal, 58 seconds left, 15-10 from the two-yard line. 1 year later, last year, it was the Eagles, 58 seconds left, fourth and goal for the Atlanta Falcons. The Eagles were up 15-10. We know what happened. Julio slipped.
Wow.
This year, screenshot, 58 seconds left, score 15-10 for the Bears.
Wow. And
the Eagles get the win. Golden Tate goes in for the touchdown.
That's amazing.
To give him the go-ahead score.
How cool is that? That's
unbelievable.
That's
unreal.
Really cool.
Yeah, and Chicago, one timeout at that point, too.
Well, they had to because the Eagles... We're
milking the clock down.
Yeah, I mean, it was great the way they were doing it. Hey, curious, did you hear anything about the ski masks?
They came in with the defense came in with ski masks, yeah. So I think John Clark tweeted out the picture. Yep.
I like the ski masks.
Yeah, I do, too. It's menacing looking.
You know what else was menacing looking? Did you see the Ravens defense?
No.
Come in with the mask and the baseball bats?
Baseball bats?
Yeah.
Like they're coming in to beat some ass?
They came in with the hoodies up, right? You saw Ty, right? Come here and be my witness. They came in from the parking lot. And they're wearing the Raven hoodies, and they got the mask. Like, what was that? Those menacing masks.
I gotta bring it up.
Yeah, it was like it's from one of the movies, like Dead Presidents type mask.
Yes.
Those masks are awesome.
Yeah, with the baseball bat.
You remember? You see the Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Warriors. Come out and play.
It was that.
Oh.
Those creepy masks. And they had bats with them.
Yeah, and then they had Ray Lewis come out.
Yeah, in that white suit.
And everybody's hype, and credit to the Chargers.
Nah, they were, you know what the problem is? They saw Lamar Jackson a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
They figured him out. He couldn't do anything. They should have went to Flacco.
They should have. At halftime, they make the switch. They probably win the game.
Yeah.
Because by the time he got it going, it was too late.
Too late.
But yeah, the Ravens had it all set up on defense. They didn't have it all set up on offense, though. But it looked cool.
And they played well on defense, too.
They really did.
The Chargers had the ball constantly, all those turnovers. But did it look cool?
It looked super cool. It's a shame that it's not going to continue. That would have been something that would have been interesting to watch.
Yes.
If it continued. Like the ski mask is going to travel well.
Yeah.
That would also travel well on the road.
Yeah. I think they need to add to the ski mask. Like almost like just go all black Eagle suit, like tight suit. Here.
Oh, yeah, they are like the Dead Presidents.
Well, I think the clown
guy's got
mask,
a clown on, yeah.
I think it was inspired by T.Y. Hilton, because T.Y. Hilton, before their game on Saturday, he said that Houston was like a second home for him. And then one of the players, I think it was Jonathan Joseph of the Texans, said that's a clown statement to make. So T.Y. Hilton walked into the building with the clown mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, he showed up. They ended up winning. Colts ended up winning. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They were up 21-0.
So he probably inspired what happened during the Chargers-Ravens game.
One guy's got like a sting-looking mask on, like the wrestler.
Cool?
Yeah.
What I think it was is the underdog mask thing has brought personality into a sport where they try to take out the personality.
I agree.
They can't legislate that out of the game.
That's right.
Suggs has got the Jason Voorhees mask on.
What I mean?
That Sheldon Brown wore when Joe Banner was trying. Remember he went out in the...
I do.
Yeah.
I love that.
The hockey man.
Like, I almost think you got to go full, like could you imagine the Eagles defense
in all black?
Oh, man. Like, all black, like a burglar, cat burglar suit. You know what I mean? Like a sweatsuit.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Black. Just all black.
How about you, like a sweatsuit?
No, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah,
like the
you.
Cat burglar suit.
Cat burglar.
You know what,
old
Jason?
School.
With your beard sticking out? If you wore those masks, it would be ominous.
Yeah, yeah.
With the beard hanging out.
Yeah, no doubt.
I want to get the ski mask. I love the ski mask. Yeah. The ski mask is nasty.
But you guys, if you head down.
Ski mask is nasty.
Ski mask.
Well, you know ski mask, you're robbing a bank. You know what I mean?
You're a serious crew. You're an arch criminal.
Yes.
You're an arch criminal. You got the full mask. You're an arch criminal.
Yes.
And
yes.
You're like a safe cracker.
Yes. You're a safe cracker.
I'd love to be a safe cracker with the stethoscope.
Yes.
So you listen to the clicks.
The pendulum. Yes. We actually have a guy who was a reformed safe cracker.
What do you mean?
Who calls the show. You know this.
We have a safe cracker. What was he, a criminal?
He's a reformed criminal.
So he's
a second story man, they call him. You know what second story men are, right?
No.
They're, you know, they're burglars. They're house burglars. And he's a safe cracker.
We have a safe cracker that calls the show?
Yeah, Hesh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a skill.
He's a reformed, you know, he toes the line now. But
really?
Back in the day, in the past,
he was a safe cracker.
He was, you know, he had a past.
See, I always envy guys that could pick a lock and crack a safe. Yeah, you see people and they put the two things in the lock of the door and they open the door, or somebody that could rip the bottom out of the thing in the car and then put the two wires and start the car, hot wire it.
You want to? Because you have the hacker and they steal a lot of cars.
I don't. But I always thought that was neat. You know what I mean?
It is a skill. Like, cracking a safe is a great skill.
Oh, you can't.
Nowadays, though, yeah, I mean, that was meant for another time period.
Yeah.
But nowadays, because of technology, you have the retina scans.
Yeah.
I have the...
chop out the eye.
I have the South Philly uncle that used to steal cars when he was a kid and drive it back to a shop, and then they'd crack open the mileage, turn it back, and then they resell it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, chop shop.
Yeah. Those are the glory days, right?
The glory days.
Oh, jeez.
Glory days. Now we're getting to the little much.
All right.
I don't know about your uncle who's a car thief. I like the idea, though, of the ski mask.
Yeah, I do, too.
I like the costume.
At this point, you embrace it. Because you know why? Because it works. It works. Whatever it is with this team and this underdog mentality.
I love walking in the Superdome. With the whole defense wearing the same. There's something about like when they're in uniform like that.
Yeah.
Do you see this commercial? It's an Apple commercial where it's like not like the ho hum or whatever these people come running out in these different colors. Like, but they're all in the same. There's like thousands of them. They look like
freak you out.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
Because you know what it is. It's strength in numbers.
Yes.
And it freaks out your mind.
It does.
Defeats you before you play.
It does. Like, yes. So they need the whole defense got to come out in the black,
And just come up with some kind of a white logo on it that looks like a ski mask. Just the eyes and the mouth or something.
I like the eye and the mouth. Yeah, it's good.
Some kind of like silhouette type thing. And they all walk out in this uniform.
We're going to come take your heart.
Uh-huh. And you come marching in. The Saints come marching in to their death. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I am. But I'm totally into this.
Oh, we are. I love it.
This is like the faith and the underdog mentality. And at this point, it's like, if you don't buy in now and like go, I believe in this or whatever, then I don't know what you need to see. Because here, they went into L.A. against the Rams as a 13.5-point dog.
Nah,
and they come out a win. They beat Houston on a late drive.
Nah, it's crazy.
After he gets knocked out because he takes a spear to the sternum. Like, the spear's still sticking out of his sternum, and he pulled it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just insane. And it's not like this is the first year of it. This is after the magic of last year.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe, then I don't know what to tell you. 610-632-0975. We've got another name coming up at 1 for a shot at $1,000. We had a winner earlier. Let's see if we can get another one and a shot at $10,000. Yeah, we're 1 for 1. We're batting 1,000 right now. And then also, the Nick Foles Faith Line. as you so eloquently termed it.
That's what it needs to be.
Let's kick off the 1 o'clock hour. A little faith. We head to the altar. Back after this on the midday show on 97.5 The Fanatic. But I got to tell you about FanDuel. Oh, big game tonight. Real big game tonight. We got to talk about that at some point. Epic matchup tonight between Clemson and Alabama. And this year, more at stake than ever. FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a can't-miss deal exclusively for our listeners who haven't tried FanDuel Sportsbook yet. 100-1 odds on the national championship game. That's right. New users get 100-1 odds on the first $5 of your bet on either team to win outright when you bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. What a great deal. You can't miss this. Go to FanDuel.com/college to find out how you can get 100-1 odds on your national championship money line. I can't wait to see how this game's going to play out tonight. I know it's going to be a close one. Don't forget, you can get 100-1 odds on either team to win when you place a $5 moneyline bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. Just go to FanDuel.com/college to get your exclusive national championship odds. That's FanDuel.com/college. Max bonus $500. Must not have previously placed any wager using your FanDuel Sportsbook account. Bonus issued as site credit. Must wager amount equal to site credit before the winnings can be withdrawn. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/college for all the terms and conditions.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.